Our scripture reading for today is taken from the letter of Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33. So we read in Philippians, chapter 4, starting verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And we read in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again we give you thanks that we have gathered here by your grace to worship you, adore you, and praise you, and also to hear the word that you will speak to us through our brother and pastor, Joseph. So we pray that you would inspire him and fill him with the spirit of wisdom, that he might share and participate with us in the word that he will be preaching to us, and that our hearts and minds might be clear and open and accepting your word, so that we might not only hear and understand, but also live according to your word, and that your name might be glorified in us and through us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We live in a world full of problems. And negativeness, no matter where you look, you will see trouble and negativeness. Good news these days is no news at all. As a matter of fact, there may be a man who saved five lives, someone who did this or that. No, the news people won't care to report that. And yet, when something terrible happens, everyone runs to report it. Well, last night in the news I heard that there has been a shooting in the States. A congresswoman, a judge, and others have been shot. The congresswoman they're trying to save the congresswoman. That has become international news. So we do live in a world that is full of difficulties and problems. Mind you, this is nothing new. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Actually, Jesus didn't say that I have come to this world to remove trouble. Actually, Jesus didn't say I have come to this world to put an end to fightings and wars. He didn't say, I've come to this world to give you security and all that. But he said something more meaningful than that. He said, I have come to bring peace in the heart and soul of every human being who follows me. Everyone is affected by the world's troubles and negativeness. Wars, crimes, violence. Addictions, family breakups have become daily occurrences and a way of life. You may know someone close to you, or you may be going through a difficult time yourself. And when I get a phone call or someone says, "Pastor, may I speak to you?" usually is about a problem. It has happened that sometimes someone will come and say, "Pastor, I want to share good news with you. I'm going to have a baby," or something like that, or "my husband has been promoted." But usually is about problems, health problems, marital problems and difficulties, children problems. And we as Christians are expected to deal with these problems and difficulty. Sickness, poverty, unemployment, rejection, and loneliness have become heavy burdens for many to carry. We live in a negative world, and the things we see or encounter usually affect us to be either positive or negative about life. But in spite of all the negativeness around us, we must not be negative people. And when I say be positive in a negative world, I don't mean that you should become passive and ignore all the things around you. No, I don't mean that at all. Of course, there are things and sins that we recognize them as sins and avoid them and even expose them. Yes, there are times in our life that we will shed tears. There are times that we'll go home and maybe just do nothing but be concerned about this situation. And Jesus went to his friend's tomb, Lazarus. And he knew he was going to be resurrected. He knew that he was going to live. And yet there was this emotional, if you wish, expression of tears. And yes, we as Christians will be going through a difficult period of time, maybe going, or you will be going, when the tears are part of that process, healing process. Apostle Paul, writing to believers, said, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice." The word in Greek is chairete. Be glad, happy in the Lord. We must be rejoicing in spite of the troubles around us. And you say, "Yeah, it's easy for you to say, you're not going through what I'm going through. I've lost my job. I owe so much money. My rent is due and my wife is not doing well. If you are the wife, my children are not doing well." Many the churches are full with single mothers and some single fathers. We don't understand. We often are very quick to judge people, and yet we don't understand what they're going through. And yet I've met some people who are going through a difficult period of time to have that smile. Someone may say, "Well, that's just his or her character." And yet there is inner peace in that person. We must be rejoicing in spite of the troubles that are around us. We must focus on positive thoughts and blessings. Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:8, we must think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, admirable. If there is anything praiseworthy, then praise, Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:8. But this is only possible if a believer really wants to and has a desire to please God and obey Him. Not once a while, but daily. And develop a positive attitude and stay positive. Before I came up, I was in my office thinking about my attitude about life. And I, once again, I recognize some of the problems I have in my life. For example, one of the things that my wife will remind me often is when I pick up an apple, for example, oh my goodness, I'll say to myself, it's very hard, and I'll cut it, and it's very sour. And yet, very often, I have been reminded by God that I have an apple, and it's juicy, it could be a little sour, and yet I should appreciate everything else in that apple. And also, I should appreciate that many don't even have a picture of an apple, let alone have an apple. I complain sometimes about the snow, and my daughter and Margaret says, Dad, you have to learn to appreciate snow. And I tell her, I'm here 51 years, and I still have not learned to appreciate snow very much. But then when I look around the world, and I look at Australia, where our brother Peter comes from, it's covered with water, half of Australia, right, Peter? One third? Ah, come on, don't. And they said that it's the size of Germany and France together that was covered with. It's bigger than Europe. You're right. But it's not fun. I mean, I heard their prime minister, president or prime minister? Prime minister. Anyways, the lady speaking, and she acknowledges that they have a problem. And then you look around the world in Europe, and I appreciate the snow in Quebec. We don't have much. So we have to learn how to appreciate the things we have rather than look for problems. And again, I've been teaching this sermon to me for the past week before I brought it to you. Yet, often Christians are negative and complaining. I was reading a report, or a message actually. It was like a report. Said that there are more Christians that give the impression that they are going through a terrible time rather than have the joy of their salvation. There are many Christians who go through life being sad and unhappy and complaining and always finding fault in other people. There are many Christians, although they are spirit-filled, and yet you don't see that joy on their faces. And I believe every one of us can identify with that, or because we know someone, or maybe we are not so happy in our daily life. How can we stay positive in this negative world, you may ask? Well, we must respond to God's love. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. God loves us in spite of the circumstances. God loves us in spite of who we are. And for a long time, I would always find faults in me, and I still know that there are faults and mistakes and shortcomings. And yet I would dwell on those things, and I would be unhappy. Until one day I realized, and I heard it so many times before, realized that I am who I am. I didn't create myself. I did help to be bad or good by responding or not responding to things in life. And yet I am who I am. And I said to God, God, I am who I am. Can you use me? And shape me, reshape me. And I believe that brought some peace. What I'm looking for in life, more than a laughter, is serenity. To be able to be serene and accept things and deal with things with His help. God loves God's love is shown in creation. And again, I look at creation. here in this church to set the thermostat. Someone has to come and adjust it, and then there's power failure, the thermostat goes down, I got to come, or someone else has to run and set it again. We have to readjust it for certain activities and things, and yet God has made a thermostat that controls the earth. Can you imagine if this thermostat would break down one day, we'll all freeze to death. And if this thermostat would not function well and never stop the heat rising, we'll all burn to death. And yet God has prepared, has created such a wonderful mechanism and creation in the atmosphere on this, in this earth, that things reproduce themselves. And it's wonderful. So God's love is seen in His creation. God's love is revealed in the Bible. And people say, oh yeah, that is if you believe in the Bible. Believe it or not, if I didn't believe in the Bible, there would be nothing else to believe in. Because the Bible not only has survived 6,000 years of all kinds of situations, but also the Bible has changed millions and billions of lives. And this Bible is the breath of God. Once again, I'll use the Armenian name of this book, which is Asvatashunch, which means the breath of God. So God has given us the Bible. And you say, well, you know, that the Muslims have the Quran, the Buddhists have their own book, other religions have the Mormons have their own. And yes, they do. But you have to realize that this book was not written by one person, or by one little group of people at one particular time of human history. This book was written by many, many, many people, not in one time, but during the human history until 2,000 years ago, when I believe all the prophecies and everything that we need as human beings were said and done, and the book closed. And I know there are those who have been writing new books and new Bibles, and yet I believe this is the book that changes life. God's love is clearly seen at the cross. I don't believe that there is any leader, any religious leader, who gave himself to save his enemies. Many religious leaders have advised and have instructed their followers to attack their enemies, kill their enemies, deal with their enemies, throw them out, or whatever else. And yet, the author of our faith, Jesus Christ, on the cross, prayed and said, God, forgive them, for they do not know. They know not what they're doing. No, this is only God. Only God could do that, could have so much love for His enemies. God's love is demonstrated through answers of prayers. And answered prayers. And again, our Bible study, we have a Bible study for about an hour, and then we have a prayer time. We get together to pray in small cell groups, two or three people together, and we give prayer requests. And before we do that, we sort of share with each other answers of prayers, because we believe in answers. Now, if I didn't believe in answers, then why would I pray? If my wife didn't think that I could do something or give something, she wouldn't come to me and say, you want to do this? And the only reason why she comes and tells me that is because she knows I will do it, or she hopes I'll do it. The same thing, when I go to my wife and I say something, can you do this? I know she can do it, and I'm sure actually she'll do it, because she has always done it. And that's how it is. When we go to God, we know He is going to answer the prayer, because He has always answered it in one way or another. Only the fool The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anyone with half a brain would realize that this whole creation, everything, is not an accident, could not have come from nothing, for there is nothing that comes from nothing. Only a super creator can do it. His name is God, living God. And I don't mean the generic word God, because many call their gods God, Jehovah God. We must reprogram our thinking. We are constantly bombarded by negative messages. The downside of this age of instant communication is, first, being aware of the world's problems continually. The shooting took place. In about 15 seconds, the TV stopped and says, there is a shooting. In the old days, it would take months. Maybe never. You would never hear about it. So this is constant communication. Second, all violent acts are reported to us immediately. Third, evil ways and methods spread quickly. And the problem is, not only we receive these news, not only the violence spreads quickly, but it is adopted by many and copied and repeated. And so something happens, terrible happens in a church, in another church, well, say, no, we are better. Or something is successful in a different church, so another church will try it and yet will not succeed. So all these things are confusing, have become confusing. There are psychological dangers of constant negative input. At the end, you end up not being able to sleep, and at the end you can't relax because you have invested your money in something and that is not doing well. The bank is losing money. This huge company is shutting down. And so you live in a very negative world. And here we are saying, and the Bible is saying, remain calm. God will take care of you.
There are physical dangers of constant negative input. That is why it is so important to have faith-building input, developing a devotional life. Now, why do we need a devotional life? Why do we need to read the Bible? Then the question would be like, why do you need to have breakfast? Why do you need to have lunch? Why do you need to have supper? Why do you need to eat something or drink something? I have seen people in the church and everywhere with a little bottle of water and sipping water, and because it's good for them, or they give water. Why is it? Why can't you drink water in the morning and just say, okay, I'm done for today? Why do you bring water with you? It's because you want to have some water. Well, why is it then that we don't want to do the same thing when it comes to our spirit? Why don't we take a Bible with us, or a verse with us, or at least read in the morning, and then go into a spiritual mode and take that with us? We don't. Developing a devotional life is very important. Daily Bible reading and prayer. Starting the day and remaining thankful. How thankful am I daily about God's blessings? How thankful are you about God's blessings? How much do you thank God daily for being able to walk, for being able to see, for being able to hear, for being able to say something, for being able to eat everything? I know people that can't eat everything, or they can eat only a little bit, or they can't eat at all. And they look at us and they say, oh my goodness, I wish I could eat. And there are all kinds of situations that people have learned to deal with. And I believe that we either
accept the fact that we are going through a difficult period of time, and yet I know that only I am a visitor, a sojourner, if you wish, or I'm going through this life once, and yet I believe that there is a soul, an eternal soul, that will live forever. And so let me feed that spiritual soul. We must recognize the best in others. All people are imperfect. If you thought you are perfect, and I know we joke about this all the time, I thought I was the only perfect, or I thought you are the only perfect. There is no one that is perfect. We all have our shortcomings and things to deal with. There are no perfect people or churches. No perfect pastors and leaders. We all need to connect to God for wisdom. We all have to be plugged in, if you wish, to the source of holy power or eternal power that will sustain us spiritually, or else we will get miserable and we'll get depressed. Yet people do have many positive and praiseworthy things to be discovered. Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Philippi, said, "I thank my God every time I remember you." And I thought about this, every time I remember you. And then I said, do I remember anyone in my life that helps me deal with my situations? And I said, yes. And I said, can I remember them? Can I name them? And I started, and there were many that I could say, yes, this sister, yes, that brother, yes, my parents, yes, this, or yes, this janitor in a particular church, yes. And there are people who have left an impression in my heart and in my mind. And I believe that we should always look at these people, remember these people. But on the other hand, I have so many people that bring me bad memories, and I may get depressed by thinking what happened in that particular situation. He actually chose, that is God, to remember us when we did not deserve it at all. And here, Apostle Paul is writing about the Philippians. And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, Apostle Paul had some things against the church in Philippi, but he actually chose at this point to remember the positive things about them. And finally, we must reach out to the lost and hurting people. There are many people that are hurting and they need our help. Let us look at the people who need spiritual and physical help rather than the faults and shortcomings of those around us who are trying hard or unable to do better. Paul pleads with the Philippians to do as he was doing. Paul was always reaching out to the lost and confused. He loved souls, and his desire was their salvation. Bringing people to Christ brings positive joy to all of us. Do what you can where you are with what you have, said Theodore Roosevelt once. He said, do what you can where you are with what you have. Faith in Christ enables us to be positive in this negative world. A positive life and testimony will bring others to Jesus, the joy giver himself. May God help you stay positive in this negative world. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for creating each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us to continue life till this moment. Once again, Lord, we thank you for all the good things you have given us. We thank you for all the good moments and the good people and the good examples that you have brought our way. This morning, Lord, once again, we ask you please to touch our souls.